Hi, my name is Dr. Katerina Rosenblatt, and I am a survivor of human trafficking. Today is May 17th, 2021. I'm also the founder of There's Hope for Me, which is a survivor-to-survivor anti-trafficking nonprofit. And I am speaking today with Felicia Wright, one of our amazing survivor leaders, who I have had the privilege of mentoring for the past 9 years, and we are recording this interview in Hollywood, Florida. Would you like to say hello?
Hi.
And
I don't, I say that now?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Felicia Wright. I'm 27 years old. Today is May 17th, 2021. I'm speaking with my mentor of 9 years now. To me, she's Miss Cat, but she's already introduced herself. And we are recording this in Hollywood, Florida at my empty house.
So, Felicia, let me ask you. First of all, I want to say thank you for taking the time to do this because I think our mentoring relationship has been one of the things that has been a beautiful relationship and I'm most grateful for in my life, seeing your transformation. Can you share with me what you feel most grateful for in your life?
Okay. I mean, the last 10 years have been hard. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful for the very few people that I have. Besides you, I have like one friend, two friends. And I mean, that's all I need. I don't want more, but you know, I'm grateful for the people that I do have in my life. You know, I've let go of the negative people, and now I just surround myself with positive people that can help me.
And I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks.
Yes, we do have each other, and we have God. Now, can you tell me about someone who has had a big influence on your life, and what lessons did that person teach you?
Well, you had a big influence on my life.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for you, I probably would still be on the street, messing my life up even more. You've helped me a lot. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
And I'm proud of you for being vulnerable to share that and to share your story and how far you've come. You know, you're amazing.
It hasn't been easy.
No.
At all.
I know. But you're still here. We're still here. Almost 10 years later. Surviving.
Yeah.
What are you proudest of in your life? Let's focus on the good, on the positive. I know what you've overcome, and you know, you can share what you feel like is important for people to know.
You know, my mom died when I was 17, so, you know, before she died, I had a drug problem, and eventually it took years and a lot of work, but I got over that.
Yeah, you did.
And during that, you know, I ended up on the street, you know, escorting, doing porn, and before I even had a real job, So when it came down to getting a real job, I looked at it as, why make $7 an hour when I can make $150 an hour? And I mean, it might not sound like much, but I'm proud that, you know, I finally got that over that mentality, and I look at life the normal way now instead of just about, you know, what I can make and what drugs I can do. Now it's, I worry about my cats, my future.
And you do have a future.
Hopefully.
And you're so strong, and I'm so proud of you. I might have helped mentor you along the way, but you did the hard work. You made the decision to come out of that life. You remember when we were at the community college and they were calling you to go for a porn audition and offering you, I don't know, something like $800 or $900 to go do a job. And I was like, no. You just got out of escorting. You don't want to go into that again. And you made the decision to say no. So I might have encouraged you, you know, guided you, which of course it has always been my privilege and my pleasure to have you in my life, really as a daughter.
And I appreciate it. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have you in my life.
God put us together for a reason, because I do believe that survivors, helping survivors makes a difference, you know, and we've seen that over the last 10 years, getting to know each other, being involved in all the different scenarios, you know, from working with law enforcement and the FBI, which they were great, I think, in your experience.
I mean, I didn't really work too much with them. That was more or less, you know, Kendra, but...
But I feel like their respect for you gave me respect for them.
Yeah, they were nice people, though.
Yeah.
I forget her name, but she was nice.
Yeah. I think it was Pam Washington, the lady, and Sarah. But the difference with your trafficking experience and law enforcement compared to the law enforcement who helped you get out of it, I think was important to see that there are law enforcement who were willing to treat you with respect.
Yeah.
And that was important. And that's why I personally believe in the work of the FBI, because I think they do make a difference. Maybe having a bachelor's degree that the federal agents are required to have helps. I don't know. But they definitely have always treated survivors with respect. And then overcoming abusive relationships, I think, is something as survivors we both have had to learn to overcome, because when you come out of trafficking, you're still vulnerable to unhealthy and toxic relationships, right?
Yes, that's for sure.
So we've had to work through coming out of domestic violence, and you got caught up in a really serious one. But the dynamics are kind of similar, right? With traffickers, like they kind of lure you in with this intense love, and I think they call that love bombing. But it's so important for you to believe in yourself and know that you are worthy of real love and true love, and not the false love that these guys offer, right? So I know in my life, I'll share a little bit of my story. You know, when I was recruited into trafficking, I had false friends, and they made me believe that they really cared, even though they didn't tell me what we were going to wind up doing. And I fell for it. And like you, I got into drugs. you know, which I think is why the survivor mentoring is so important, from survivors to survivors, because we understand what we've gone through. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's really
definitely, you know, just because someone has a drug addiction, you don't, you know, give up on them. It's just part of the process, overcoming that. And then coming out of the trafficking, working through the addiction, and then working through abusive relationships, which we both had, I understood where you were coming from. You needed love. I needed love. It's not a crime to need love. It's a crime for that love to be exploited. It's a crime for that need to be exploited. It's a crime for that need to be abused.
Yeah.
You know, domestic violence is a crime. Human trafficking is a crime. But I'm so proud of you that you've overcome all that, come out of all that. Now you have a stable job, a stable life. You have a home. You have a good, decent life that you can be proud of.
It's a lot better than it was 3 years ago, you know? I mean, it took me till I was 25 to get a license, you know, because before I had no regard for any rules, you know, and that was another thing that I'm actually, I guess, proud of, because when I lost my mom, I kind of like had authority issues, you know, and I didn't respect rules, I didn't listen to rules. You know, in my mind, the one person who could tell me what to do was my mom, and she was dead, so therefore no one could tell me what to do now. And luckily I've only gotten in trouble twice, but I'm doing better now.
Yeah, and now people are looking to you to hire you as managers of their stores. People are trusting you with your decisions and your choices. And doesn't that feel good to be a productive member of society?
Yeah, it does.
Being in a legit square, so to speak, world is not all that bad, right? Yeah. And I think when we were involved in trafficking, a lot of times we feel like, well, this is all we know, and this is all we can do, this is all we can become, but you've proven that to be false.
It was hard, but I didn't.
So if you could hold on to one memory from your life forever, which would it be? Or one lesson?
It's a hard one.
Okay, so can you tell me about someone you'll always remember? And I think I have a memory too I want to share when you're done.
Okay.
Why don't you talk a little bit about what you're going through right now? Because I feel like you're at a crossroads, having lost your mom 10 years ago. And so if you feel like it would be healing for you to share.
Well, the person I'll always remember, you know, it's obviously my mom. She was always there for me. You know, growing up, she was so strict, you know. After school, she'd have me like write my timetables after my homework just to make sure I knew them.
Wow.
She wouldn't let me have a second bowl of ice cream. Like, she was strict, you know, but we always got along. And once I hit high school, I thought I knew everything, and, you know, I told her to relax, and for some reason she listened to me, and After that, over the next year, she ended up being more of my best friend than my mother. And the next thing I know, you know, we're using together. Mm. And she just wasn't doing the right thing anymore. And I'm learning from her, even though she wasn't, you know, intentionally teaching me. But, you know, you see your mother do something, like, you know it's wrong, but you think it's okay at the same time. And mm-hmm. and then one day I found her, and she wasn't breathing anymore. And it messed me up, you know, and I still struggle with it today. But, you know, I know she's watching over me. And, you know, when I get sad, I just think of the good times that we had and mm-hmm. just being with her.
So you were the one that found your mom when she passed?
Yeah. It was just me and her at the house, you know. So when I woke up and went in her room, she was cold.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that, Felicia. And you were only 17, right?
Yeah, and then basically the same thing with my grandma, just not drugs. You know, I went to work and I came home not even 3 hours later and she was dead.
And that was just over a month ago, right?
Yeah, yep.
I'm so sorry.
It sucks, it's hard, and, you know, it's traumatizing.
It is, and I'm just amazed how so many times in our lives, yours and mine, you know, our paths are so similar, and we cross each other's thoughts and lives when something is going on. Mm-hmm. You know that I lost my mom 7 months ago, mm-hmm. and you were such a blessing to talk to, and then finding about your beloved nanny, your grandmother passing, who I thought was so sweet, and had the privilege to get to know. I know she cared for you very much, but it's hard when that's your only
family
left that you really look to for love and comfort. In whatever way they could, because both your grandmother and my mom were, you know, up in age and their health was an issue. But, you know, love has no boundaries, and we just appreciated, I think, having that family.
Right? Yeah.
But with them gone, you know, I'm thankful you and I still have each other. And now you're an adult.
Yeah, and it's scary. You know, I'm on my own this time for real, and I've never even rented an apartment.
What do you think you'll do with your life now that you have only yourself to care for and this little there. Guy? You're the kitty.
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, I just want to make sure that I have a roof over my head and mm-hmm. the two cats. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're animals, and a lot of people think that animals don't matter as much as humans, but to me, they're my kids, and I want the best for them. And, you know, my biggest fear is, you know, not having a place to live, not having a bed, and not being able to feed myself or pay the bills. And now I'm gonna have to do it on my own.
But you're not alone, and I'm here to help you. And whatever I've learned through my mom's passing, I want to help you with, and I'm going to help you with, so that you don't lose hope, don't get taken advantage of.
there is hope for me.
Yes, there is. That's why I named it that. So we can always feel like there's hope. You're so cute. And actually, that's the question. What are your hopes for me? Or what are my hopes for you and for your future? My hope, I'm going to answer that one. So my hope for you, Felicia, is that you will grow through this process and get stronger. And
can't get weaker.
No. Get resilient, because whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. And through these types of trials, you know, we can grow. If we choose to accept this mission, mm-hmm. we will grow. I know I have grown. I've learned to be more assertive, take more ownership of my life. You're doing the same. And that is a good thing. It's a good thing to work hard every day, like we talked about, earn a good living, a decent living, doing something you can be proud of, you know, not something that you have to feel ashamed of.
Yeah.
One of the things that I feel like for generations to understand about trafficking is that, you know, on social media and even in schools, just in our world today, they glamorize, you know, the pimp culture or stripping or easy money. But it's not really easy, is it?
No. It's, you know, emotionally draining, mentally draining, and it's really not worth it in the end.
It's not. It destroys your psyche.
Because most of the time, you know, if you're not already hooked on drugs, you get hooked on drugs just because it makes it a little bit easier.
Right, to forget about what you're actually doing with your body.
Yeah.
And when I got recruited in my middle school, you know, now 1 in 3 middle schoolers are being recruited, and 1 in 9 high schoolers. When I go into the schools and talk to kids, they share their stories. And I see how easy it is for them to be lured away by this culture and the society, making them think about money and glamour and this lifestyle, social media famous.
Hmm. Yeah.
But it's not really all that it's cracked up to be, is it?
Not at all. Not at all. I remember before my mom died and I was in high school, you know, this girl I was friends with, you know, she introduced me to this guy. And at the time, you know, I was only 17. And the guy didn't have a driver's license, and neither did I. But, you know, me and my mom using together, being best friends, you know, she let me use the car. And when she found out, you know, I was making money with the car, she really didn't mind. So, you know, the guy would pay me $20 each trip to the hotels to pick the money up from the girls. And, you know, and then when there'd be nothing to do, he'd pay to get our nails done. You know, he actually did piercings on the side, so I got some free piercings. And, you know, we would hang out there after school and sometimes during school. And, you know, he made it sound like, and made it even seem like, you know, it's such a great way to live, and, you know, you have money, you know, you have freedom. And once my mom died, you know, he told me once I was 18 that I could. So once I was 18, I called him, and the first day I worked for him, I got arrested. And so now that's on my record forever, and for some reason that town put it on the online news article, so everyone I've ever went to school with thinks I'm some kind of prostitute junkie. I mean, I hope now they see me differently, but everyone that knows me, you know, knows my life, and I wasn't even the one that told them about it.
That must be hard.
Yeah. I actually, I don't know why, something made me look it up recently. and I found the news article. And so I saw the woman's name that wrote it. So I looked her name up on Facebook and I found her page. So I messaged her and told her like how much she's impacted my life negatively by making that article.
Absolutely.
And of course she didn't write back. I haven't even checked to see if she read it yet, but if it was her daughter, I'm sure she wouldn't want someone putting that information out there. It's like a girl escorting and getting arrested is the only thing going on in your area. You have nothing else to report that you have to ruin a young girl's life even more than she's already ruined it herself. But people don't understand what it is. They just judge and look down from their shiny towers.
Right. And it really wasn't prostitution and choosing this lifestyle. You were being lured into it, recruited at a vulnerable point in your life when your mom had passed and this guy exploited your trust.
Yeah. You know,
and your vulnerability and used that against you. I want you to give me that lady's name. Why don't you give me that so I can take care of it for you? Because that shouldn't be out there.
I know.
Especially now, after 10 years, you are becoming a life coach to help other survivors.
I don't even try to get in relationships anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you Google my name and there's no hiding it.
Well, we've got to get that taken off. I'm glad you brought that to my attention and you shared that. And I'm so sorry that you've been having that. I didn't realize that was even out there. So
it's still there.
We'll get that taken care of.
And she actually lives in Fort Lauderdale now. She moved away from Fort Myers.
Hmm. Well, hopefully we can make a difference for other people by sharing our stories. And I really appreciate your vulnerability in sharing even that part, because that just proves, you know, this fake, glamorous lifestyle that pimps and exploiters use really doesn't add up to what they promise us.
Yeah, because the day I got arrested, you know, he bonded me out after a few hours and then made me work to pay him back for the bond.
And that forcing you to work in escorting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is a form of trafficking as well. Even if you're over 18, there's force, fraud, or coercion. That's trafficking. If you're under 18 and you're engaged in any form of commercial sex, stripping, porn, prostitution, massage parlors, that's trafficking. So you were being recruited at 17, you know, exposed to it and being exploited in other ways, you know, with the deliveries and other things. But then when you turned 18, you were forced to pay off the debt that he paid for you. And what people don't realize is here in the U.S., there is debt bondage. There is slavery. That is slavery.
Yeah, because he knew how scared I was. You know, I just got arrested my first day ever doing it, and here you are telling me I have to do it some more to give you your money back. And, you know, besides that, I'm in a town that I don't know, so I obviously am going to do what you need me to do so I can get back to where I need to be or want to be. And
mm-hmm. With the only other person you had, who is your grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was more of a mom to me than my own mom.
But that love that she had for you helped you to fight for something, you know? Yeah. And then we came into each other's lives right when you were in the middle of that. You were in the middle of having to pay this guy back. Let's talk a little bit about how that relationship happened from your perspective.
What do you mean?
How we met. Without saying names.
Well, I kind of have to, because
I mean, for respect for her privacy, because she may not want her name mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember Kay, you know, mm-hmm. She was in some kind of juvenile program where she met you. And then when she got out, you know, me and her became really close, you know, and she thought that it would be good if I met you and that, you know, you'd have a positive impact on my life. And so one day she introduced us, and I'm grateful she did that.
I am too. And from that moment on, the moment I saw you, I knew there was something special about you. And that's one of the things that I want to share also. You know, traffickers and abusers use that feeling of making you feel special to get you to buy into a relationship with them.
Yeah.
However, they exploit that trust.
Yeah. You know, there were times where, you know, I'd be in the hotel room and then he would come up, you know, and it's not even like he would pay me, you know. It was just a very uncomfortable situation. And then once I paid him back and I finished my pretrial thing with the courts over there, you know, I thought doing it on my own, I could make money and not have to pay him anything out of it at all. And that didn't last too long before I started doing porn, because that was a lot more money. Mm-hmm. But then I just didn't feel comfortable doing it on camera and with people I didn't know, and people I actually did know seeing it, and mm-hmm. just proving their thoughts of me to be right. Mm. It took a while to get out of that lifestyle, but I eventually did it.
And what do you think about our relationship? How did that help you, having a survivor mentor, like as an example, from your perspective?
Well, it gave me someone, you know, who I could relate to,
yeah.
You know, and you're not just someone listening to me talk, you know, you actually understand what I'm saying, and, you know, you can actually feel how I felt, you know, and, I mean, I think your situation was a lot worse than mine, but, you know, trafficking is trafficking, and escorting is escorting, and sex with a stranger is still sex with a stranger. And
that's a good point.
You know, back then, you know, me and my friend would say, if you're gonna do it, you might as well get paid to do it. And today I look at that and I just think, you know, I was not a smart person back then, and I guess after everything I've done at this point, I could go the rest of my life without having sex. Like, I wouldn't want to be a nun, but I could live a nun's lifestyle.
Well, I've chosen to be celibate, you know, for the last 12 years. because it's my choice.
Yeah.
I want it to be my choice. You know, when I was involved in trafficking from 13 to 17, it wasn't a choice I was given.
Yeah.
It was taken from me. And I wasn't compensated. You know, these older men gave me love. For me, that's the biggest drug. you know, whether it's a trafficker or a John buying sex, they give you love that's false love, but it's sometimes better than never getting any kind of love.
And for some girls, yeah.
And if you've never had healthy love, you really don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you sell yourself short buying into that because you'd rather have something than nothing. You'd rather feel something. But it doesn't make it healthy.
Yeah. Nothing about it is healthy.
No. And it's nobody's story is worse than anyone else's. It's all bad. And it's all wrong.
Yeah.
But we're all in this together. And there is hope for all of us. Right? I think today we've proven that by sharing our voices. You know, I came out of trafficking, experiencing it first at a hotel through sex tourism, being recruited at 13. And then my middle school, my friend, having a sleepover where her dad was a trafficker, and older men in their 40s, you know, with their false love. And then a pimp in my building, you know, using coke because I had gotten an addiction in my middle school to cocaine. So when you have an addiction, it's an added vulnerability on top of poverty, on top of single parent home, on top of domestic violence in your background. And that addiction led me to the third trafficking, which I finally got away from. You know, I had experienced attempted murder from kidnapping and all of these drug dealers and drive-by shooting. I mean, I'm embarrassed now going from my GED to my PhD to admit, like you're saying, you know, everything I had gone through and being Dr. Cat today, it's almost like, who am I talking about? But I hope you feel the same, Felicia, because it's like that was our past. It does not have to define us. It doesn't define us, as a matter of fact. And yes, life is hard. We went through trafficking. We went through domestic violence after that. We went through losing our loved ones. But guess what? We're still here.
That's true.
And we're still surviving. And what we did tonight is we're giving hope to others that they're not alone, because you know what? Someone somewhere needed to hear your story tonight, needed to hear my story, and needed to hear and to know that they're not alone and that there is hope for them. Because like you said, somebody's story can be worse. Somebody somewhere, but they didn't know they can also survive.
Right.
They didn't know that they could come out of that. So if you could give one word of advice to a young person contemplating engaging in that relationship, taking that offer.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Because that first little bit of money that you get, that alone is an addiction, you know, and you're like, wow, that was only 10 minutes. You know, and all I had to do was lay there. This guy, you know, and he's older, so it's even quicker, and it makes it that much easier. And after a while, it's like I was saying before, you don't want to go get a legit job paying taxes mm-hmm. to pay your bills. And because you look at it as, you know, I can work 1 hour out of my day and make a week's paycheck versus going to work, working 9 hour days for half of what I can make in 1 hour, you know, and it took me years, but I finally did it.
You finally got out of that mindset.
Yeah, but you know, if it's someone that hasn't done it yet and they have that opportunity to, I would say don't do it. It's not worth it.
Right, because then the drugs keep you bound in that. so that you numb the pain. I know for me, that's what coke did.
Yeah.
So that I didn't have to feel rape, or I didn't have to feel abuse, or I didn't have to feel the emotional betrayal every time these men who said they loved me left.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't real love. For me, love was the biggest drug. Mm-hmm. Cocaine was just a Band-Aid.
Fun.
To cover, you know, the pain of not having that father figure. Yeah. So I kept looking for that father figure in men. But choosing to be celibate has helped me to work on myself and learn to love myself.
And that's what's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. You know, God loves us. And we're made in His image. And it's not about religion, but it's about worth. Realizing that someone paid a price for your life, you know, that died for us. I know I've shared with you that I really believe that Jesus died for us so we don't have to suffer and go through all of this pain that this world brings. There is hope for us, but it's not for everybody to grab a hold of. Sometimes they have to go through the hard lessons in life to really value their freedom, to really value that they have a choice, to really value love. So going back to what you said, you only need that one person in your life, a mentor or a friend, but a person that you can really trust.
Yeah, you don't need, you know, a bunch of friends, a bunch of family members. You know, you just need, you know, one or even a couple people that you trust, you know, that wouldn't let you do that.
Oh, you know, man. That's a good word. You know, friends don't sell friends.
Yeah.
Friends don't let other friends get exploited. Friends don't abuse each other.
Yeah. I remember quite a while now, but I went out of town to, not to escort, but to do some kind of check fraud thing with my best friend Bianca at the time. She's dead now, God rest her soul. But yeah, we had a falling out after the trip because we got drunk and high while we were there, and I ended up passing out, and the guys we worked for, well, as far as I know, it was only one of them, came to the room and told the two guys that we were just hanging out with, having fun, to leave. And I don't remember if he told her to leave too, but she left, and I was actually raped.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, me and her stopped being friends once I found that out. But, you know, even once you're out of that life, it's still not hard to get back in it. And even if that person doesn't know your past, it's almost like you have like these pheromones that say, you know, I've done it, or I'm willing to do it, or you can do it and I'm not going to do anything, you know. Or
you're right. You know, last year I started dating, and the head of our human trafficking task force, who used to work for Homeland Security, he sexually took advantage of me and raped me in January. Yep. He invited me out on a date, and he knew my background. He had worked this violation, and he still took advantage of me. But you know what? I walked away from that and decided I was not going to allow him to make me a victim again.
Well, I'm sorry.
But it's like you said, sometimes you carry that around with you, and people who are exploiters and abusers will take advantage whenever they can. But it's our choice to decide not to be a victim,
right?
But to be victorious, to be an overcomer, and to remember there is hope for us, that there is love for us, and we deserve love and understanding, that we don't have to to stay in any abuse. Nobody deserves to be abused or exploited. Thank you for today, Felicia.
Yeah, thank you.